I wish I could whistle better. Gosh.
Did I feel
if
like
I
a
had
whistle?
A wish, my wish would be to whistle.
You should do a remake of Skeelo's I Wish about just your desire to whistle.
That is my favorite song to
I know.
Karaoke to.
I know.
Yeah, this so is it your, would make sense.
This is your chance. This is episode 423, Sarah Wishes She Could Whistle. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have
I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. I wish I had a rabbit in the hat.
How did
with
that
the
become
bat,
your karaoke song?
I don't know. I think I really liked the music video, and I liked the... It was just like... A one-hit wonder. It's a bop, she
mm-hmm.
says. It is. And I just, I love a clean rap song. Yeah. I don't know why.
You love rap for families.
I totally
family
do.
Family values.
It's so funny. And you know what? So when I was in second grade, this shows why I should have a podcast, a TikTok, or be on a reality show, or all the above. I don't have a TikTok, but why? Maybe I should. When I was in second grade, for no reason at all, this was not a school project, I wanted to perform in front of my class mm-hmm. a dance to one of the songs from a dance and lip sync to one of the songs from the soundtrack to Beverly Hills 90210, Sounds from the Peach Pit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, called I Just Want to Be Your Friend by Puck and Natty. It is who nobody knows who the hell these people are, but I was like,
do you remember the song?
Every freaking word. I did the running man in that, and there was no reason why I should have done this. And the teacher was like, okay. And so the end of school one day, the last 5 minutes of class, I just performed this song, and there's there's some lines in the song that there's one line that says, I'm so horny, and I I'm so horny, so don't just sit there just to sit across from me. And like, it's the fact that they just let me do this, and
right.
I can't
even,
and I just
Did
like, didn't
know what that
meant. No, because then I listened to it. As an adult,
yeah,
you know when you go down that like, oh, what was my first CD
yes.
I ever had, and then you buy it and like listen to it. So I did, and
was
then
this your first CD?
It was.
Oh wow,
uh-huh.
Mine was ABBA's Greatest Hits.
Oh,
which
that makes
is also
sense for
fitting.
You.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Yeah.
Wait,
oh,
so
I
what did you
really
love
into...
about this song?
Oh, I loved. It's clean. It's like clean rap.
Clean rap again.
Yeah.
God.
I just, you know what I think I liked? I liked being able to memorize a song where I can go really fast, and people seem to be impressed with that.
Yes, I get that.
When a second grader can like rap
wow,
all
second
of
grade.
Like, yeah. And then it like started with like the Dangerous Minds. My friend Ashley, shout out to Ashley.
That one.
Yeah. She had that with Coolio's Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it all began. I memorized that and I was like, ooh,
you
this
like
is the thing. People are
inspiring.
Impressed with this. Yeah. People become less and less impressed with the white girl who can rap the older you get. Let me tell you.
Yeah, but it's a crowd pleaser in second grade.
In second grade, it was big. Yes.
When did it drop off?
Oh, gosh.
The teen
I would say.
Years?
I would, no, you know what? That it worked. There were a couple times on the challenge where, you know, Knight was my biggest fan and would try to, and he got me, he would try to get me to do it. And then production would find out that like, they're like, Sarah,
no
you know,
singing.
Go.
Oh, they wanted you to do it.
Yes.
Oh, really? For like
yeah.
a blooper reel or what?
No, just not even on camera.
Oh, right. They just loved
and,
it.
And then I was like, no, you know what it was when
yeah.
like. When you do it around people who aren't white and you're like, nope, definitely not playing this game.
Oh.
That you don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Sarah. Right. I can
I was
see
like,
why that
I'm out of my league.
Yeah. Okay. And I think you also become aware when people are wanting you to do it because they're making fun of you.
Yeah.
Which is what we did
yep.
with Kellyanne a lot.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a sec.
Yeah. I
so
think
that
of being
only
bullied
worked.
Nicely.
And so now that's now to go back to why I like that song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My showcase of my rapping skills is only funny when it's for novelty, which is a song like I Wish by Skee-Lo.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't do it seriously. It's got to be a novelty act.
Throw in this element is that you have trouble, I think, with lyrics sometimes.
All the time.
Yeah, and that has pretty simple lyrics. Maybe that was an appeal for you.
Definitely. I mean, I'll mix it up. Like, I'll sing the wrong ones, but, like, with confidence.
So, on all songs or just that one?
No, pretty much all songs. I mean, I'll sometimes look it up for clarification.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, you're thorough. Well, I actually read an article this week about the psychological appeal of karaoke, if you'd like to find out.
At how?
That was just serendipitous.
Oh, my gosh. We are in the flow today. Tell me all about it.
Well, I'm sure none of this will be a surprise, but it is sort of a curious thing that people willingly get up in front of other people and sing songs poorly. But it was just talking about how performing music releases endorphins that passive enjoyment of music doesn't. So there's that element
Okay.
If you're just like listening.
Oh my God. This is great. It always is a performance for me. Now, here's a question. I wonder if it's different for introverts and extroverts, like people who shouldn't even call them introverts and extroverts anymore. I should call it more like easily stimulated or it takes more to be high.
Well,
like,
think about the people that you know who are into karaoke. In my experience, they aren't the people that are attention seeking normally. What about you?
I feel like they fall into one of two categories, attention seekers or secret great voice.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Because I don't do it to showcase my good voice because I don't have one.
You just love to perform.
I have a friend who has an amazing voice. Yeah, Allie. Shout out to Allie. Mm-hmm. And I know that she would probably get down with some karaoke. But wouldn't be somebody who would like. And she's so good. Oh, my God. Oh, she's so good. Every single time she sings, she's definitely jumped in and saved the day
with
her lyrical styling.
Do you get the sense that the audience loves when there's a great singer or that they're sort of annoyed?
It depends on what song you choose.
Wow.
If you choose a fun one, Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody, we love you. You choose Whitney Houston's
I Will Always Love You.
I Will Always Love You. We're annoyed with you.
We have a problem.
So basically, if you get up there and you have a good voice, I should ask you one of two questions. That should be the question, like the qualifying question. So you get to choose between one of these Whitney Houston songs. Which one are you picking? And if they pick the wrong one, nope, sorry, line's too long. Get back the line, lady. Other people are in front of you.
I can't imagine anyone being crazy enough to record like I Will Always Love You or one of those power ballads.
Oh, I've seen them all the time.
That is a mistake.
You just give, because everybody like, well, here's where I've seen this, on cruise ship karaoke.
That's a niche.
Yes. I think there's something about being around the same people for a while. You've been there for like 48 hours. Everybody like you, like seeing the same people. Maybe they become your friends. You're a little more comfortable. Get a few drinks in you. People are cheering you on. Think you're invincible. You get up there. Mm-hmm. You sing a power ballad.
Go for it. Well, then it was saying how music is closely related to the human desire of connection. Like when you look at the hierarchy of needs. And music facilitates a connection between the singer and the audience. And also that it bonds people who don't know each other well. So you know how like at karaoke, there'll be little clusters of friends, but then they can kind of cross-pollinate.
Yes.
And it lubricates the social dynamic, I think.
Wow. Absolutely.
So that's the psychological appeal of karaoke for you.
I love it. I remember one time I was in Catalina with my mom. I was about 15 years old, and this was during like the, oh my God, nobody look at me. I'm a teenager phase. Like I'm embarrassed by everything.
Yeah.
And we walked by a place that was doing karaoke, and my mom said that she'd pay me $100, which in that day might have been $1 million, to do karaoke.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but I'll think about it. And then on the way back,
I'll think about
she
it.
Was like, okay, last chance. And I said, no, but that's one of my biggest regrets. I should have done that for $100. And I think it would have been like taught me a lesson or something. I'd have like gotten over some, I don't know, maybe.
That is for me as
it
a parent.
It felt like a big moment.
Yeah. Yeah, like do
a
or die.
Like missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, like do or die. And I didn't.
Ooh. Oh,
I can feel it right now.
Oh, regrets.
And then I was like, yeah. And I was like, Sarah, what are you so afraid of? What
yeah.
are you like? It was like a whole time in like figuring out who I was. Man, hey, parents out there, take your 15-year-olds karaoke singing. This is the lesson.
Them.
There's some, yeah. Because like, I don't know why she felt the need to do that. But I even had the song, but like, and then we like went to dinner. And then on the way back, she gave me the other opportunity. And the whole time, like at dinner, I was like thinking about which song I would pick. And
oh my God. You
know, I think I'd landed on Salt and Peppa, which isn't a surprise. If you've heard the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, that's feel good rap too. I mean, it's a little raunchier, but.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Positive message at the end. So there you go. That's my karaoke experience. And
well, another positive message I can give you is that there is a company who makes socks that will fit like a glove, will fit
Susie,
like a sock, basically.
Susie, what? They're like hugs for your feet.
They're called Features, and it's spelled like feet too, which we love a punny name.
We do.
And you're right. They are like a hug for your feet.
Like the best. I go, what? Is this magic? How could you improve on a sock? And then I really thought about it. And I'm like, no, you really can. Where it pulls, I'm like, you know, if we got stuff to lift my jeans to lift my booty,
yeah.
You can make some socks to make my arches feel good. And oh my God, do I love the medium cushion. Ooh, it's magic.
Oh my God, you're a riot. I love how passionate you are.
No, There's- I really am. Because good sock, maybe it's because we've just been spending a lot of time. I've been spending a long time not wearing shoes.
That's true. Oh my gosh. And I noticed that my
feet hurt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I need some freaking support.
Right. So Features has these special socks that they don't bunch or slip. They don't have that friction or blisters. And frankly, lately I've been getting a lot of comments from the WikiFeet people on my, and I was like, I really need to keep these babies safe because
yes.
They're, you know, people love them. But these are great because they have a lifetime guarantee. If you got one of those funky threads going crazy, you can just reach out and they'll give you a replacement pair. It's a family-owned company, which I love, but mostly it's just a great sock that will be especially great for if you're a runner or you're active because they won't move and get all... You know how annoying that is when they mess up in your shoe?
Oh, yeah, and they've got this special little back... like little flap thing that's
yeah.
like designed so it will not fall down. Oh, that was
yes.
happening in my shoe the other day.
See,
I will be, yeah, get out of here, other socks.
See why Features has quickly become the number one running sock in America. For listeners of the Brain Candy Podcast, you'll receive $10 off your first pair of Features by going to features.com and using code Brain Candy. That's $10 off your first pair when you go to FEETURES.com and enter promo code BRAINCANDY at checkout. Again, that's features.com and use our code BRAINCANDY to get $10 off your first pair of Features.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Okay. So let's see. Oh, I wanted to tell you, I read this interesting article. We're sort of in that in-between period on the calendar between Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an article in The Atlantic about a study they did comparing Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Fun for everyone.
This is tell me everything.
I mean, again, this is one of those things where you're like, well, yeah, but it's still fun
right.
to see the data on it.
Yeah.
So in card world, mothers do everything and dads are like an afterthought. And I did not know this, but Mother's Day became a holiday in 1914, but Father's Day did not become a holiday till 1972.
Whoa!
Isn't that crazy?
But you know what? That's fine.
Of course, it's definitely fine.
I mean, here's the thing. The man would probably be doing the same thing in his life if he were a father or were not a father during those times.
Yes.
He would be still going to work. He would still be doing his job. He would still, you know, maybe his weekends would look a little bit different. This fundamentally changes in a mother's entire court. That would be a very different life if you have a child or don't have a child.
Yeah, and I bet you right around 1972 is when people started to expect a little bit more of fathers.
Oh, maybe, yes.
So maybe that's why they were like, we should give them a day too. Let's give them some motivation. By the way,
this
I was
is
seeing
a good point.
Somebody
yes.
left us a bad review on iTunes because they said that we bash men. I was like,
was it a woman or a man?
It was a man. And I was like, that's harsh, but fair.
Harsh, yeah, you know what? That's fine. And you know what? If that's somebody's complaint, that, you know.
Yeah, we're not for you, mister.
We're not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, carry on. So anyway, mothers are seen as nurturing and fathers are utilitarian. So,
yes,
you know, they're going to go to work and they might help you fix your car. But like the moms are going to give you the love. And they compared even the colors. The mother's cards are pastels, and the father's tend to be more bold with reds and blues.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother's cards tend to have nature on them, like flowers and butterflies.
Butterflies,
and stuff like
always. Yep.
And for dads,
roses,
it's like
hammers,
tools,
a lawnmower,
yeah,
mountains,
like machines,
a beer.
Yes. So...
Golf clubs.
Yeah, and they pointed out how the for the mothers, it was like all the stuff you do for them and how you care for them. And for the dads, it was focusing on their hobbies. So like golfing, grilling, hunting. And so that's what takes up dad's time is not helping the kids. It's like doing the fun stuff.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is... And that's... Oh, man. Well, no wonder... They have that, like, you know.
It's always one of those questions, like, about chicken and the egg. Like, is it just a reflection of reality? Or does it reinforce just stereotypes that aren't even necessarily true?
I mean, then again, there's the argument that creates a nice balance and a well-rounded person if you learn those things. And it doesn't mean that you can't have like opposite roles, like that some people aren't, you know, that's just, I guess it's more like the stereotype then.
One thing that surprised me was it says that there's way more cards for dads that have like number one dad or best dad ever.
Yeah, because guys are narcissists and they need to be. Oh, that guy's really going to hate me now.
Yes,
sorry, men. Not all men. They're not.
Hashtag not all
just,
men.
Just, I think that is a personality trait that may be higher amongst men, possibly. Well, I don't know. I would have to find out. And don't you think that goes along with that?
They had a scholar weigh in, and he was saying how it feels like they wanted to give the dad an award.
Yeah.
But the cards don't say why they deserve it.
Oh,
and I was like, that's about right. It's almost like they want a participation trophy.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing ever.
I mean.
Oh, we might get another review.
No, I mean, because I'm not saying
it's not a bad thing. Right.
It's just sort of like stereotypes. And in the same way that when you're having a baby and you go to, let's say you go to Target and you're getting some clothes, the clothes are hyper gendered. Like little babies wear tutus and like so many glitter and sequins and things like that. And that's not an accurate reflection of how women dress. But for babies, that's what we do. And so these cards kind of feel like that, where it's just like exaggerated stuff.
It's a, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like the catch-all, you know? It's almost like I think about like horoscopes that say certain things for certain
right,
signs.
Right, they apply to everyone.
They kind of apply to everyone in some way. Like, yeah.
It does annoy me though, what you said about how the dads are always drinking beer and the women are always wine and cocktails.
Yeah.
Like that, why are beverages gendered? But they are.
In fairness, that's how it is. But you like a beer. I mean, I live these, live it. But
I know.
Here's the thing. Just because those are the preferences or whatever, does not mean it's everyone.
Sure.
You know, that maybe it's what we need is a little more neutrality or variety.
I would love that.
Like, what about, thanks for being a badass parent.
Oh, yeah.
Glass on me. like a parent. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, but I do understand. Like, I don't know.
Can somebody out there who's listening that is a graphic designer create Sarah's card? Can you repeat what it should say? Thanks for being a kick-ass parent. Have a glass on me.
Yeah, I was trying to make it generic. Glass of beer, glass of wine, glass of whatever you want.
Let's just have some water. Let's hydrate.
Stop. Oh, God. I should go into card making. That's it.
I would love a line of cards that was more like that, where it's just like your true feelings. Like, let's just sit down and have some lemonade.
That's it. I mean,
you are adequate.
You're fine.
One thing that was funny too was I never thought about this, but it is definitely true that Father's Day cards tend to have farting jokes on them.
Yeah, because dads and boys do this.
Yes, and this here's an insight that will enrage you that I never thought of.
Oh no.
They were saying that who gets to flout the rules of society, which, you know, farting out loud is, people with power.
Yeah.
So if dad farts, he's allowed because he's powerful and he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
But if mom does, you would be disgusted.
Disgusted.
And then, so I was like, wait, maybe we're reading too much into this, but I don't like that.
I don't either.
And then it was saying how a lot of the cards about fatherhood and being a dad are jokes, like making a, like he doesn't do anything. Like it'll have a list of things you ask mom and it'll be like a million things. And then things you ask dad, where's mom?
Yeah.
And so in a way it's a compliment to moms.
Yes.
But in a way it's sort of like they claim that because fatherhood isn't as much about the person's identity as motherhood is, you can make jokes about it and present them on sitcoms as like bumbling idiots. And it's, they don't care because it's not as important as like what they do for a living or whatever.
Oh my God. That's changing.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
I think so. Because I think Adam would not get that card.
No.
Ren would not get that card.
No, right.
Right. It would be like, what? No.
It wouldn't apply.
It wouldn't apply. So there's like a whole new generation of men that are dads that show up. I mean, Ren's not dad yet, but I'm going to assume based on the characteristics I've seen so far.
I just love Ren.
I know. Isn't he the best?
Are you sick of how much we love each other?
Not really. I love it.
Oh, good. Okay.
You guys loving each other is like my favorite. And then like learning that you guys are like
similar.
I'm like, well, this is fun. Yeah. It is great. Fun.
I wouldn't have predicted it.
Let me tell the people out there listening. I asked, Ren and I were playing a game on the way over to our social distancing hangout sesh with Susie the other day. And I said, you know, if you could go out to eat at any restaurant right now in all of that, like all of LA where we live, dressed in what you're wearing, like where would you go? And he said Sugarfish, sushi place. And I asked Susie the same question. And gosh darn it, if she didn't have the exact same answer. I've never been to that restaurant with either of them.
Right? That's true.
So this is the favorite restaurant of the two most important people in my life. And they say that, and I would have never even answered that for them or even known that was on their list. So there you go.
Right. We learned so much that day.
Yeah. Ask Adam where he's going. We're going there together. We're going to little sister. We're out of here.
Well, one thing I think all four of us can agree on is that Brooklyn has the best sheets and bedding.
We all sleep on them.
We all sleep on them. All four of us. Brooklyn sheets are so awesome. We've been talking about them for ages, but I know a lot of people during quarantine have been upgrading their living space.
Yes, because,
you know, you start to see all the crap that you should upgrade.
Yeah.
And Brooklinen is a great option because they cut out the middleman. So it's direct-to-consumer bedding. So it's super high quality, but at an affordable price. I love that you can mix and match the designs. You don't have to commit to like one color for every piece. And then now they have towels and shower curtains and bath mats and robes and candles. Like, you can make a proper hygge, as you say, experience in your house. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that make a big difference. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code BRAIN only at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Yes.
Just do it.
I feel relaxed just thinking about those sheets.
Yes, let's snuggle. Okay, let's talk about, I'm sure you didn't watch it yet because you've been busy, but the Trial by Media episode 5.
I have not watched it yet.
Okay.
But so I did watch episode 1 and whoa, buddy.
Yeah.
Was so, she right, people?
I had it told you guys to watch Trial by Media on Netflix. The first episode was the Jenny Jones murder, which was so interesting. And Sarah did watch that, and you conclude the same as me, that, like, it's unfortunate, but, like, the producers shouldn't be held accountable.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, what did I say? Ren and I were watching it, and, you know, oh, I said, like, the first person who, like, before they created seatbelt laws.
Yeah.
Like, people died, you know, in these terrible ways, and then we created the seatbelt laws. Like, so, you know, these horrible things are happening, and then you create laws and you change it so then it doesn't happen. But like, unfortunately, there are the people who are like the reason that those laws get created that are, you know, what do you even want to call them? Like the, whatever that person is.
Yeah. And so now, you know, hopefully they have added some safeguards, but you can't do it completely because people, you can't predict people's behaviors even if you know their medical history and stuff. But each episode of Trial by Media is about a different law issue that was affected by coverage on the news or in the media in some way. And episode 5 was about the very, very, very first trial that was put on television, like gavel to gavel, and it was a rape trial in New England where a woman had popped into a bar to get cigarettes and then saw a waitress she knew, sat down, had a drink with her, and then when she went to leave, it was a bar full of men, and they basically blocked her from leaving and then raped her, a gang raped her on a pool table. for 2 hours. And the only way that she got out was eventually by running out with no pants on and flagging down a car of men who then took her to the hospital, thank God. But anyway, that's horrific, of course. But the fascinating thing to watch was the footage they showed of, like, the local news. You know how when they go up to people and are like, what do you think about this situation? And they were like, she should be in jail. She must have been asking for it. Why was she in a bar at night alone? And I couldn't believe it.
What year was this?
I think it was 1982 or four. You know, a while ago, but not long enough where that would make sense in your brain.
Yeah.
And it was sort of, then they showed the way she was interrogated by the defense attorneys, like the cross-examination. Mm-hmm. And it really was like she was on trial.
Oh, it's so sad.
And thankfully they were convicted, but it was sort of the catalyst for a lot of changes. Like, they had said they were going to keep her name private, you know, Jane Doe. But then the judge agreed to show the whole trial on CNN, and they didn't account for that. And they spelled her name and said where she lived. You know how you have to say your address when you're... Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right? And they were like,
oopsie. That's awful.
Yeah. So she had to move out of New England. She ended up in Florida, and she died in a car accident a couple years later, tragically.
Oh.
Poor woman.
Oh, my God. That's a really sad, tragic life.
The thing that, like, I just couldn't believe was how clear-cut it was that she was raped and how, you know, it was almost like this, almost like the stereotype where they say, well, in a dark alley type of thing. It was basically like that. And she still was held to this standard of like, well, was she asking for it? It's crazy.
What do you think? Because I feel like there was a narrative, like it's kind of like the first person who talked to her or the first person they interviewed about it. Like, who sent this spinning in that direction? You know, was there a detective that was just a fucking misogynistic asshole?
I think that it was one of those things where, to most of us, that is so inconceivable that that would happen. That the human instinct is almost to be like, well, why would they do that? Let's think of a reason why some man would do that. And so they invent these scenarios where, well, she must have been hitting on them, or she must have. The one guy on the news said, well, she probably agreed to have sex with one or two of them, but then it got out of hand. Got out of hand! She said they were cheering on her rape.
It's not a snowball. It's not a, like, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like the other thing was that they were.
Oh, my God.
Like 60% of the town is Portuguese. And so it also had that element, although she was Portuguese too. But after the conviction, like thousands of people showed up and protested.
Protested her?
Yeah, the conviction? Of the rape.
They protested. So they ended up getting convicted.
Yes.
And it was guilty.
Yes.
Okay. And people protested saying
they were so mad.
They were, even with the what the?
I know. It's inconceivable.
And there's no, oh my God. When you say that there's the element of them being Portuguese, do you mean like the cultural considerations around like gender and things like that?
It's weird because the Portuguese community rallied around these guys and felt like they got a bum deal in the way that you would expect them to do if the woman had not been Portuguese herself.
Right.
But she was. Well, so then, I don't know how they reconcile
then
that.
Kind of like makes me points to like, is this a gender, you know, like how the genders are.
Oh, maybe. Like a cultural. Yeah.
Like, yes. Yes.
Maybe.
You know, because I don't know much about, you know, Portuguese, like.
Right, like family structure.
Female. Yes, yeah. yes. I don't know why I can't think of
you. I don't know either. I just know that I can't imagine being in that position. This is a woman. She was 21. She had two little girls she had put to bed. And then her partner, who was her high school sweetheart, stayed with the kids. And then she was like, I'm going to go get some cigarettes. That's all that this was.
Oh my God.
And I just cannot imagine having to convince people when you ran down the street with no pants on and had to flag down a car and go to the hospital.
No,
that you're not the victim.
I can't either.
It's a fucked up
thank
world.
God it is. But you know what? That was the world then, and thank goodness it's been a long time since then.
Thank goodness.
I mean,
we still see the remnants of that, of course.
Yeah.
But it's, in a way, it's such an insult to men, because by saying, like, she must have done something, you're implying that men can't control themselves.
This is a good point.
And so I don't know why men embrace this defense, because it basically says, I'm an animal, and it's up to you to make sure I don't hurt you.
Right.
That's bonkers.
Oh! That's, oh, God.
Yeah.
I can't even wrap my head around that. It, like, makes me sick to my stomach.
I know. I knew you wouldn't want to watch it, but I insist that you do.
I'm going to. I totally am.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I just finished watching, Ren and I were watching the HBO show Euphoria.
Oh,
holy
what's that
crap.
About?
It's so good. It's
Tell me
so
what it's,
frickin'
what's
good.
What's the deal?
So it's about, it's all centered around like the experience of these high school kids. And at first, Ren was pitching it to me, he's like, oh, you know, it's like, I was like, high school kids, I don't want to watch something that's like, a, you know, YA, like young adult right. kind of show. It is definitely not. So it's about, it's Zendaya is the main character, and she plays this girl, Rue, yeah. who's a like recovering drug addict who has a lot of slip ups, and it's everything that goes on with her family and like the relationships with her and friends and school. And there's a whole, you know, every character has their own background and their whole, all their own stories. And one of the main characters is a transgendered high school girl, and she meets like she goes online and she has relationships with, like, you know, one night stands with guys who are always these straight men and with families and everything. And you hear the stories about that, and it's like, oh, it gets so much deeper. And then one of the guys she has, you know, a relationship, she, you know, hooks up with is the, well, I don't even want to give it away, but it's right. like somebody that she knows, and it just goes, it's so freaking good, but it's just so twisted and, but true, but so accurate and so real. And oh my God. So it was like really dark. So
and
I feel like
I'm
in the same. Yes. It's like 8 episodes, and they got, you know, they got the green light for season 2 and 3, but had to stop production of it.
Oh, right.
So it's already written, but the script's done. But the, because then I had to look it up because I'm like, what? This is the, what? I need more. So super good. Highly recommend it. Fantastic. You're going to love it. but I, you know, so I'm like in the mood for more of the same. And I, you know, as messed up as that whole story is, I feel like that will also, you know, Law and Order is on hiatus. So I got to do something. I got to watch and get my fix.
I cannot believe that they're still making Law and Order.
I know. Thank God. I love them.
Who's like the main person all these years on Law and Order?
Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still crushing it. Now she's like the captain.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
She got a promotion.
Yeah. Man,
good
she runs
her.
The place. She's
I
good,
mean,
and she
been
like
on for fucking
it's
20
great.
Years.
She has a picture of Ruth Bader Ginsburg framed in her office. I say this like she's a real person, but
you really do.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I watch a lot of TV. For somebody who doesn't watch a lot of TV.
Well, we mentioned Hygge earlier. That thing you love,
yes.
the Nordic
yes.
lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I read about another Nordic lifestyle that might interest you.
Oh, tell me.
It's called Pants Drunk. And
I like it already.
Go on. And it's getting drunk in your home alone in your underpants.
Well, I love this.
Right. Thank God.
Yeah.
This is sweeping
the
world.
I don't know if I like getting drunk alone. I don't like getting drunk, period.
Yeah.
I like a slight buzz.
Okay. We'll say getting buzzed.
Yes.
And
drinking alone in your underwear.
It was saying that, you know, how I don't know how they cope with it in those areas where the, you know, for winter, it's just dark all day, mm-hmm. every day.
Oh, yeah.
And so this became a way that they could get loaded without having to bundle up and go out. So they just got naked and drank at home instead.
Yeah, why not? I mean, why the need to get naked, though?
This is what I want to know.
But they do love to be nude up there because in
yes,
I think
why?
I think it's Finland that the ratio of people to saunas is like 2 to 1. I'm not kidding. And no. they have like business meetings in there and shit. Yeah,
in
it's
the
like
thing?
A thing. Yeah, like in saunas, like in it's like part of their yeah, it's like a people like gather around and do that. And
I
like,
really would like to know more about why they like to be naked. Because remember Christian from Road Rules 2? He never wanted to wear clothes.
I don't remember him, but
he was Timmy's best friend on the show. And he's this tiny little Norwegian person. And he's just a total goon. And every time I saw him, there would be no clothes. He would take them off and jump in the lake or whatever.
Maybe like, I don't know. Maybe it's is that like a good thing to have that relationship?
They seem
like, yeah,
happy.
They sure do. And they do rank as the highest report of happiness. And maybe there's less shame then,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
less shame about the bodies when you,
yeah, we need more of that.
Yeah. Low rates of sexual assault, low rates of teenage pregnancy.
Yeah, this all sounds great. Let's all get naked.
Should we just be dropping trow
and drunk? That's one of my favorite phrases.
Right? Isn't it funny?
Yeah, every time I want to use
it. I don't know what
caption,
a trow is, but.
Right. Well, I always think, do I spell it like trouser and then just drop the S-E-R?
That's where it came. Oh, my God.
Wait, do you really not know that that was it?
Nope, really didn't.
Oh,
just realized
yeah,
that.
Just take
that was
your pants
fun.
Off.
That was fun.
That was fun.
We like, learned. I didn't realize trow was short for trouser. I was thinking T-R-O-W.
That's
I don't
what
know
I
what
mean.
That is.
That's what I'm saying. If I wrote it in a caption and I spelled it T-R-O-U, people would be like, what?
Oh, you got to do trow, T-R-O-W. Trow, and then, trow. Or you do T-R-O-U and you put the little picture of the pants next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Pants
mm-hmm.
emoji. And they'll be like,
yeah,
oh,
we
got to
walk
trow,
them through
trow.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Hold their hand. Yeah.
Do you want to talk mm-hmm. about poop?
Always? That was not a question. That was a statement. It just didn't sound like it.
I read about this art exhibit. Remember last week when we were talking about the guy that controls the robot with his butthole?
Oh, I remember.
Well, this reminded me of that because this is also an art exhibit where they created these gigantic poop mounds.
What?
Out of clay.
Why?
I know. And okay. then when you go into the museum, you're instructed to, quote, get nude. But really what you do is you choose one of these suits that you wear where it, like, simulates nudity with, like, okay. big dongs and...
What?
like, weird body parts hanging off. And then you go in there.
Weird body parts? What other ones are there?
Breasts.
Okay.
Penises, balls, stuff like that.
Okay, got it.
And then you go in and there's these gigantic poop sculptures. And I want to know what you think the message is here, you know, that we're supposed to be taking away.
Yeah, similar to this other guy.
Yes. Like these performance
artists. Is there
artists.
Anything to be learned, like the poop has different things in it? Like, is this... Are they different consistencies? Or I would imagine, is it like the same poop in different colors? What are we talking about?
All different shapes. One's like a sort of like the emoji. Mm-hmm. And one was
imagine.
Like more like soft serve where it was like wrap around. You could even crawl through mm-hmm. the middle if you wanted.
If you wanted. Try to resist the urge.
And they were saying like maybe it's a symbol of inclusion because everyone poops.
Oh, could be that.
Okay.
Could be that. Maybe it's like a shame thing, like reducing the shame. Like, look, we're just going to put this on. It's like no big deal. Look at maybe like that's it.
I did like the idea about the naked suit because it seemed like because they said if you walk into a museum, people can guess about your life based on what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Like if you're a banker or homeless or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the suit, the naked suit. Makes everyone equal. I do like that
Oh,
part.
Then that's got to be a message of inclusivity
equality.
Like, yeah, for sure. Because they're setting it up with that. Well, maybe. I say for sure
yeah.
like I know whatever's
no, I
going
think
on in artist
there's
brains.
Something to it.
But yeah, I do too.
Would you go to I that think, exhibit?
I mean, for
shits
not?
And giggles?
Oh my God. That's so, that's funny.
They
well
should have
done.
Called it that.
Well, they should have. Shits and giggles. That yeah. would be a funny name of what could be named that. That's a really good name for something.
Yeah, we'll keep it in our back pocket.
Yeah, we should.
Like our next podcast.
Like, right, shits and giggles. And that's all we talk about, funny poo stories.
I do
You
always...
know what? That's like our segment.
What?
Our poo segment. We
oh,
can call
we
it, shits,
call
and
it
giggles.
Shits and giggles. Yes.
Or like the best of. That's what we do, a best of. We call our best of episode shits and giggles.
See, you are a master at this stuff.
There we go. Well, you came up with it. I just, you know.
I love it.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Fun. Thank you guys for being with us as we take a tour through
our brains.
Our brains on the journey to make this podcast even
Do you remember, I wish I could remember now, but one of my favorite documentaries was about, it was like 10 years ago or more,
yeah.
about a little girl that people believed was a prodigy of modern art. Do you remember this? And her
Ooh.
Dad was like helping her sort of.
It rings a bell.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
Remember.
I'll have to look it up. But
yeah.
the documentary was showing, you know, her talent. Mm-hmm. But then by the end of the documentary, you see that there was more to the story and it shook the art world. But it sort of reminds me of any of these kind of art exhibits and stuff where it's like they say that it's art and you're right. supposed to, it's supposed to be evocative and make you feel or think something. And it does. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes when you dig a little deeper, it feels like the provocation is the only thing there rather than mm-hmm. talent and provocation. And that
sometimes, yes, sometimes no.
Me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think when it becomes like who's doing the assigning of it, but you know, I feel like art is something that should be for like the masses, maybe not for like, but then again, you can argue that to each his own with art. Man, it's a weird
thing.
I
know it is.
You can debate art all day long, really.
I guess maybe that's the point.
Because like, you know, I think you look at a pile of trash and somebody can be like, there's art in there. And then anybody else could be like, no. And then when we try to all agree, then you get the, you know, that quote unquote best painting ever that we talked about a mm-hmm. way, like I'm probably like half a year ago or so about, you know, they combined it all and it's a piece of shit. You
it's
don't
want boring.
That. It's boring
yeah.
as fuck.
Remember so last year, whenever that was, that they taped a banana to the wall? And it sold for like $25,000 or something?
No.
It was just duct tape and a banana.
Oh, my God. See, those kind of things piss me off. The same way I remember being a kid and my mom took me to a Museum of Modern Art somewhere. And there was the green, like it's just a green panel. And I just remember being a kid and being like, are you kidding me? You mean I could have turned in this in school? This? I just remember being so mad. Like, I'm trying too hard. And it made me outraged, but I guess that's an emotion too.
Yeah, but it does feel like, is the definition of modern art just anything goes? Like, what is it?
Yeah, maybe for a moment mm-hmm. during that, like, what do they call it? It's the art, assemblage maybe, or it's like Duchamp and like the toilet, you know, that they called it the right. fountain and it's just like a urinal.
Yeah.
I think it's Marcel Duchamp who did that or something like that. Or like the pipe, you know, or all those kind of ones where you're like you're making a state. Like they were asking that question at that time through that art.
Mm-hmm.
The same question we're asking now. So for that time, yes, we've already mm-hmm. asked that question and it's been answered through art.
Yeah,
so now
good.
I need you to ask a new question. Like you can't do the urinal again. That's been done. That was done with whatever they call that. That it's not – there's a name for that. Kind of art.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? Not
awesome. Crappy?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I mean, I get it. It's kind of like I was listening to your interview with Tori from The Challenge, mm-hmm. and you were teasing her about Jordan's hair and overalls and stuff. And she was like, he is really passionate about wanting people to feel something when they look at him.
Yeah.
I really don't want to feel anything. Like, this is a me problem. I'm mm-hmm. like, no, I don't, I'm not in the mood for all that.
Interesting, you know, mm-hmm. because like you look at a man, like that is a man using fashion
mm-hmm.
and accessorizing his features to, you know, get like project an image. Women do this all the time.
Yes.
Women, we do this with like makeup, we do this with hair, we do this all the time. And now, like, are we like, we need to check
ourselves? No, because I think most people that are doing that, whether I like what they're doing or not, most people are trying to look attractive. They're trying to appeal to someone.
Mm-hmm.
But Jordan is not interested in looking attractive. His goal is just so you feel something. It can be rage or envy or whatever.
That's
he's
his
happy.
Art. I totally get it.
Yeah,
I mean, I get it now. I mean, I do. And especially knowing him,
mm-hmm.
he has that kind of like, yeah, you meet him and you're like, oh yeah, you should be doing something like mm-hmm. where you're like,
yeah,
you should be
creative.
A stylist for like Pharrell or something. For real.
I can live with the overalls. It's the hair that it's like, ugh. Not for me.
But it's super trendy and it's like fat, like hyper, you know, it's like, there's like, it's like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he
yeah.
succeeded because I did feel something.
Yeah. So good, there you go, Jordan. Well done. Yeah. Making my co-host feel the feelings.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Oh, here's something you can feel. This is the last thing I'll talk about.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
There is a new trend that is happening that is creating a gym for your face.
What?
So
I
they
feel
would,
like...
What?
Does my... I can barely get my body to the gym.
I know, right?
One I gotta more take thing my face
you gotta
there
work
too?
Out. They argue that, you know, all those muscles in your face need to be worked. And so they mm-hmm. advertised knuckling, face balling, high speed hand whipping, flicking, and pinching.
These are all euphemisms for BJs.
High speed hand whipping.
Or like or like something related to
foreplay.
Foreplay.
Yes. And they give special attention to your cheekbones. And so this journalist went to the gym and they took her and they like fussed with her face and all the muscles in it. And I have read about when famous people are getting ready for like the Oscars, they mm-hmm. get this done and literally they're manipulating the muscles in the face, like moving them around.
Yeah.
So that then you get like higher cheekbones or like a thinner whatever and more definition. And this is what it is, and it hurts really bad, but then you do look amazing. What do you think?
No pain, no gain, baby.
You think it's great?
I feel like these are these ancient techniques that, like, you know, you see, like, the old women doing or, like, you know, your grandma's doing with cold cream, and you're like, what the heck is she doing? Mm-hmm. And you really should be watching her in the same way we should, like, should have watched her, like, I don't know, bake bread because now everybody's doing that.
Yeah.
God forbid the electricity goes out or... You know, so I feel like maybe these are like some good techniques. And how can I incorporate some of these like into just like putting on my lotion without like the pain behind it?
Yeah, I don't want the pain. But I do think it's funny that certain things become accepted as mainstream, like injecting toxins into you or paralyzing your muscles, as we all do.
Totally true.
But this sounds absurd.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. That's really funny. Oh, yeah.
Like, certain things get normalized, and we're like, what? That's no big whoop. But then other things, we're like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Right. Like, people who say that about women or people getting tattoos, and then if you want to get any other kind of augmentation to your body, they're like, oh, can't do that. Well, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I'm all for just doing whatever the hell you want.
Just do whatever you want. Whatever. Don't get bangs.
Don't give bangs. That's where I draw the line.
That's where we draw it. Nope. No bangs.
Yeah. I mean, there is a rare person whose looks are improved by bangs.
Yeah. Except we did have a Brain Candy Brainiac with Casey. Curly hair get bangs. Mm-hmm. Oh, they look so cute on her. Shout out to Casey and your bangs. Love them.
Shout out to Casey and her bangs.
Yeah. They're really cute. And I was tempted to get to cut my hair, the curly hair into curly bangs because of that.
Whoa.
I know. That's how cute they were.
I mean, you could pull it off for sure.
Well, I don't want to risk it. Especially
you were going to say, I don't want to brag.
No. Please, I do that. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that's all. I do have more stuff. Can I just say this because I know it'll freak you out?
What? Oh,
this is a little something. This is about an article that I read about how certain snakes are social. Like, they made this box and they had a bunch of snakes in there and they tracked their movements and like there would be clicks and groups that would form and then they would reset the box. They'd clean the whole thing. They'd reset the snakes and they would still go back to the same people snakes each time. And they were saying that it's actually helpful because animals with more snakes in their shelter were less likely to leave. And they said this can help them with conservation, because if you know what they like, then you can give them habitats that will encourage them to stay and be safe and not die, basically.
So we want to keep them?
Yeah, like, well, I don't, but the animal people do. They want to keep. Yeah. I don't know what they do.
I guess they're important.
Why they kill mice or something? System.
Yeah, for sure. And like rat, I don't know. You need it. Keep it alive. Something.
I just read how bees were voted the most important species on Earth.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. More than us.
They get no respect.
They don't. Oh my God, they sure don't. Well, I'm gonna have some someday.
Yeah, we're all gonna get a farm and have chickens and bees. Yeah. And live a happier life.
Yeah.
People should leave a five-star review, by the way. What were you gonna say? I was gonna tell them to leave a five-star review.
And I was saying that I told Ren the other day when we were talking about our farm, and I'm like, we're gonna have bees and we're gonna have chickens. Or I said, we're gonna have chickens and we're gonna have bees, and I think he didn't hear me say bees, and I said, and don't worry, they won't bite you. And he goes, the chickens?
They don't have stingers.
No, not the chickens, honey. Ah, that's funny.
Yeah, leave us a five-star review.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Even if you're a dude and you're like, whoa, ladies. We still love you. And, you know, whatevs.
Whatevs.
Just, like, leave us a five-star review anyway. Because you know you laughed.
And Sarah will sing you I Wish.
Yeah, I will. But... Okay. Maybe on a Patreon.
Bye.